Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFERL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I am Steve Gutterman, and my guest this week is Kadri Leek, Senior Policy Fellow at the European Council on Foreign Relations. Thank you very much for joining me today, Kadri.
My pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Yes, great to have you. And I'd like to say thanks to everyone who's tuning in today on Twitter Spaces, where we've been conducting this for a month or two now, this podcast. We're happy to take a few questions at the end. So if you do have any questions, the best way to ask is by sending a DM during the podcast, if possible. Now, Kadri, the last time we spoke was, I believe, 4 days after Russia launched this new invasion of Ukraine on February 24th. That was before the Russian advance targeting Kyiv was beaten back, though there were already signs at the time that the advance was facing major challenges and moving slowly. And it also may have been around the time that Russian President Vladimir Putin had expected or hoped to have already achieved the goal of forcing Ukraine's government out or forcing major concessions that would have left Ukraine pretty much under Russia's control. Now, a lot has happened since then, of course, including the emergence of abundant and frankly horrifying evidence of war crimes committed by Russian forces in areas around Kyiv and Chernihiv in the north, and also in other places around Ukraine in the east and south. Now, Mariupol in the Donbass has been largely destroyed by Russian bombs and rockets. The death toll there is still not known. And there are still civilians trapped, though there have been evacuations the past 2 days or so. Kharkiv, Ukraine's second largest city, and like Mariupol, largely Russian-speaking, has also been hit very hard. Looking at images and hearing accounts from survivors, from that big city, it's just staggering that this is happening. Now Russia's focus seems to be mainly in and around the Donbass in the southeast, though Odessa has come under attack, as have other cities. And there's been a lot of talk about the idea that Putin may want some kind of a victory or something that he can claim as a victory or cast as a victory in time for May 9th, which is when Russia celebrates Victory Day, what it calls Victory Day, marking the defeat of Nazi Germany in 1945. Now, after all, as flawed and seemingly ill-intentioned as much of Putin's rhetoric has been, the Kremlin is casting this war that it's waging in Ukraine, against Ukraine, even while avoiding the word war, it's casting it as an existential battle for Russia on par with what it calls the Great Patriotic War, World War II. Now, Kadri, May 9th is 1 week from today. Do you think we will see major developments by then, major changes in the situation in Ukraine?
Thanks. Frankly, I do not think that anything can change drastically by May 9. And to be honest, I also doubt to what extent Putin really is fixated to dates such as May 9. Many people claim that he's attached to symbolism of the dates, but I do not know if that is true. I think there is very scant evidence to support the claim. So I take a skeptical view on that. And looking at developments on the ground, I cannot see, what can they achieve by May 9? Because the strategy Russia has adopted now seems to be a war of attrition in Ukraine's east. And that's not the kind of war that allows for quick, shiny breakthroughs, as I understand. So I I would remain skeptical on that account. I don't think that Russia can score a meaningful victory by May 9, nor am I convinced that this is really the goal. But if Putin wants to make use of May 9 to somehow frame the war effort or maybe reframe it differently than has been the case so far, then one thing that could happen is really that he scales it up, that he starts calling the war a war, that he claims that Russia is up against NATO and the West, not Ukraine, to sort of abandon the rhetoric of limited special operation, denazification, and, you know, all that vocabulary that was used to justify the invasion when it started, and actually spell it out as a sort of systemic standoff between Russia and the West. That might make sense. I'm not sure if he does that, but that might make sense from several points of view. That would actually help to explain to the domestic public why special operation is taking so long. And some explanations might still be necessary, even though Putin has effectively sidelined any ability of a society, Russian society, to question his policymaking. But nonetheless, even in totalitarian countries, the leadership needs to justify some of its actions. So that might be called for. And frankly, of course, that's where we are headed. I mean, the situation is ever more... It's adopting the traits of the characteristics of Russia-West standoff, given the amounts of help that the West is pouring to Ukraine, and it's really impossible not to. And now Russia, that was hoping to crush the small Ukrainian army in a week-long operation, is, or maybe 2 weeks, it's facing up something entirely different. So that is something that might happen, and, you know, maybe also some kind of mobilization, I do not know. That's another thing that I maybe would expect from May 9.
Okay, I mean, those are great points. I really think, I mean, to me, having asked the question and framed it the way I did, I'll just say I agree that the idea of claiming a victory at this point, maybe Putin wanted to or had hoped to, do so on May 9th, even claiming some kind of a minor victory. But it does seem like a far-fetched idea, and it seems more likely to me that one of two things: either he will kind of continue, nothing all that big will happen in terms of what he says and does, and he'll be framing it, as you mentioned, I think, you know, framing the war, you know, as a war, and as one that is being waged not by Russia against the West, but by the West against Russia. And there have been, you know, officials, including, I think, Sergei Lavrov, have essentially said that, in fact, said it in so many words. I think Lavrov said the other day that it's sort of Russia's not at war with NATO, but NATO or the West is at war with Russia. So that's kind of a way that I think he's, you know, he's going to frame it probably on May 9th, whether or not he sort of switches to the use of the word war or not. And I think, you know, there have been signs that could happen. And as you say, it helps explain to Russians, you know, why Russia and the military is having such problems fighting against Ukraine. And I think, I mean, in a way, it's obviously a strange development in terms of, you know, in the past on Victory Day in his speeches, and in the past before 2014, there were Western officials there sometimes. You know, he's certainly framed it as mostly a Soviet victory over Nazi Germany. And then at times he's suggested that the U.S. and the West are kind of, you know, threatening the world in the same way that Nazi Germany did. And so in a way, I think it's in a kind of a twisted way, it's sort of natural that he could then just kind of step up that rhetoric and say, look, we're facing, you know, this huge offensive from the West. So I think that could happen in terms of rhetoric. And then, as you say, maybe there would be elements that are, you know, more physical in terms, you know, calling for general mobilization and really stepping things up in that regard. So, you know, but I think it's hard to predict whether that will happen. But I'd like to just go on to my second question, really, about what's happening in Russia. In an article that was published, I think the day after Putin launched the invasion in February, you wrote that his decision to do it, to try to subjugate Ukraine by force, clearly went against the Russian national interest. And you very accurately predicted that in Russia, quote, the domestic system will become even more authoritarian. The government will increasingly stifle public debate, unquote. Now, the decade-long clampdown that was kind of stepped up around the beginning of 2020 with Alexei Navalny's return has certainly been cranked up several more notches since the invasion began to a really astounding level, I would say. So I just want to take stock of the situation in Russia, the atmosphere, I guess, also ahead of May 9th, and then going forward. Obviously, much probably depends on how the war in Ukraine progresses, but do you think major developments are likely in the coming weeks and months in Russia, or are things going to kind of stay at this, what I would subjectively call a very disturbing status quo?
That's a good question. I think the Russian society is still adapting to what was clearly a shock to them. I mean, they were shocked by the war. They didn't expect it, regardless of how crazy they assumed the Kremlin to be. A war like that was not among assumption by most people I know in Russia, regardless of their political or foreign policy views. And many people have left Russia. Many of those have been forced also to return because settling in the West is not always easy and finding things to do. So basically, I think that for Russian civil society, they will be busy adapting to the new situation. Many people will be asking themselves, you know, can I keep doing my job? Is my job still there, given the sort of economic changes? Or do I still want to do my job, if that's in state structures or state TV or somewhere? And you can see how people give different answers to these questions. Some leave, some stay but look for options of leaving. So I think those processes are going to continue. And I'd be really interested to see how Russian civil society, how it will end up when it has adapted from the authoritarian model we have had so far to actually pretty much totalitarian model that is emerging. I think there still will be some activity in the society, but it will have to be different from what we saw even earlier this year, when the space was already becoming very restricted and many civil society organizations were stretching their creativity to find ways of coping with the new restrictions. But I think that has now changed very much again. So they need to reorganize in a major way. But they will. You see it happening. You see that there are people around who are active, who are looking for ways to either fight back or resist in quiet ways or do something useful. It's interesting and not entirely hopeless as far as society is concerned. Another question, of course, but I don't think that society will have ways of influencing the state in any way in the coming weeks and months. The state has doubled down and also cracks down with renewed force. And right. That we are seeing as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wonder, I guess it sounds like things may not change in a big way on the next weeks and months. But I wonder, you've written before, I think, about kind of how this will affect the stability of the state in the longer term. And is there anything you could say about that? I mean, does it look like, have views changed on kind of how viable Russia kind of is as a government, as a state going forward? And again, I guess it will depend in part on what happens in Ukraine.
Yes, Ukraine will play a part in it, but I don't think that the system we are having in Russia now is a viable one. Basically, I have been debating for a long time with myself on whether the Putinist system will find ways to modify via evolution, or will there be a shake-up through some kind of revolution, even if it's revolutions that have started from above, as often in Russia's case. Until February, you could potentially see an evolutionary way out from the corner where they have painted themselves. You could see that institutions still could be revived, could take on some responsibility. There are many good professionals in Russia who could play their roles. I think since February 24, I do not think evolutionary way out is possible any longer. I think what awaits Russia's domestic system at one point is a proper break with its Putinist past. When will it happen? How will it happen? And how completely it will happen? These are all questions I have no answers to, because these breaks can happen, but still half-heartedly. Like the break with communist past. I mean, many people would argue now that there has never been true reckoning and that's why we are where we are. And there is some truth in that. So, the break I'm predicting, it could not be a complete one. But I think at one point it will happen. But yet again, unlikely in the near future. I don't think that Western policy should be based on the assumption that Putinist Russia will collapse and that will solve our problems. No, we still need a policy.
Right. Yeah. I'd say there's probably nobody who knows or can predict with any assurance, when this break might happen and how severe or how complete it will be. So, excellent, interesting point you made about the non-complete break with the past at the end of communism and the breakup of the Soviet Union. And those things are still affecting, the way things are done and what's happening today. All right, we are getting short on time, but I'd like to take a few questions if there are any. I'm not sure if anyone has sent in questions, but I believe you can sort of raise your hand by requesting speaking privilege. if anyone has any questions. Just give it a moment. Okay, and if not, we can wrap it up. We'll do that. Kadri, thanks very much for joining me. Fascinating insights, and I hope to talk to you again soon.
Thank you. My pleasure.
All right, I'll be back again next Monday, and please keep an eye out on Friday for my Week in Russian newsletter. Thanks for listening.